Ladies and gentlemen, good evening. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome to the Astaldi Group conference call on 2016 consolidated full year results. I would like to remind you that you are in listen-only mode. Following the initial presentation, you will have the possibility to ask questions to the management of Astaldi. To receive help from the conference operator during the conference call, please press star followed by zero. At this point, I would like to hand you over to Ms. Onorati, who is External Relations and Investor Relations Manager of Astaldi. Ms. Onorati, you have the floor. Ladies and gentlemen, good evening. Thank you very much for connecting to the conference call on the presentation of 2016 full year results of the Astaldi Group. I guess you received the press release and the presentation that we are now going to comment on. I would like to leave the floor to Mr. Restinelli, the CEO of Astaldi. Ladies and gentlemen, good evening, and thank you very much for connecting to the conference call and to the attention that you're going to pay to the presentation of the full year 2016 results. As you will see on the slides, I will underline that the initial picture that we use always highlights one of the most important achievements which have been reached by the management of the group. In this case, on the picture you are seeing Muskrat Falls Dam, which is illustrated as it is at the moment. The project has been completed 60%, and as you know, in 2016, we managed to reach an agreement and we renegotiated the contract. That was a very important goal, a very important achievement that we managed to reach in 2016. While this contract has been several times discussed during our conference calls, and so we decided it was appropriate to show you the picture of such an achievement. If you now go to page 3 of the presentation, as usual, we shall start with the first slide of the strategic plan that we presented in May 2016, which we are using as a reference. Let me remind you that the three pillars, the three fundamental pillars of our strategy plan were and still are sustainable growth, financial strength, and the pillar, which is very important, the strengthening of our operational discipline. Now, let me remind you this before making comments on the positive results that we achieved this year. Let me remind you that sustainable growth was related to our being able to focus our business on EPC contracts. Moreover, a new approach to concessions using a capital light model. And then another important factor was geographical diversification. As to the strengthening of our financial power. First of all, the elements are debt reduction, disposal of assets, strong action on working capital and investments compatible with the financial structure of the company. So we paved the way, we traced the way, we followed such a direction, and then we will later on make comments on the results of the year. Now, I always focus my attention on the third pillar, although the three pillars are related to one another. Sustainable growth of the company requires the strengthening of the operational discipline and structure, and then we shall tell you what we have done in this direction. Now, 2016 was a very dynamic year for the company, and then this is very important because goals are achieved when the management team is up to the task and is capable to deliver the goals that the company set for itself. Now, let us now see the progress that we made considering the 2016 strategic plan. On page 4 of the presentation, you can see a summary, but then we shall get into the details during the presentation. As I was saying, we made a summary of what we have achieved. Now, one of our goals was that of achieving 3 billion euros of revenues, and this was done. We said that we were going to achieve a growth not similar to the one that we had in previous strategic plans. Let me remind you that an important factor was being able to manage discontinuity. So we continued to grow as we planned, but in this case we're speaking of sustainable growth. Versus last year, we have grown, as you can see from the slide. So this year, as I was saying, we managed to grow by 5.2% our revenues. So this target has been achieved. EBITDA margin and EBIT margin, 12.6%, 10.6% respectively. So these are the results which confirm the soundness of our strategic plan. Another important factor is what we have managed to achieve on the commercial level. So a strong commercial push connected to our organization. This is very important. We acquired 4.5 billion euros worth of new contracts, and the idea we followed was that of sustainable growth. Another fundamental factor was the reduction of net debt at 1.1 billion euros. So we are slightly below that, 1.092, and then an improvement of net working capital. Now, at the moment, this stands at 805 million euros versus the previous quarter. We improved the working capital by 12.1%. The strengthening of the financial structure, if you follow the guidelines of the strategic plan and our programs, well, the strengthening of our financial structure depends on the disposal of our concession contracts. We talked about this in September and also when we cashed in the money. As you know, we managed to sign an agreement with the Italian Railway Company for Line 5. Then we also signed an agreement for the selling of our stakes in Chacayas hydroelectric plant in Chile. Moreover, we managed to anticipate one of the activities that was not foreseen in the disposal plan, but we're working also on other plans to improve our disposal program. We also disposed our stake in the Chile hospital. This allowed us to deconsolidate 100 million euros of gross debt. Now, let me underline that the success that we have managed to achieve in closing the agreement for Muskrat Falls. Well, I have to say that that agreement required a strong commitment on the part of the management team. We had negotiations for more than 18 months. The customer showed to be well-balanced and ready to negotiate, so we discussed and renegotiated the contract, and we closed an agreement, which is something which is fundamental for us. Now, something else which I'd like to underline are the covenants, another success that we achieved in 2016, which is certainly going to support our capability to achieve the strategic plan targets. If we go to page 5 of the presentation, what are we going to show you on this slide? Well, first of all, the fact that we have achieved 3 billion euros of revenues, slightly more than 3 billion euros, but also we wanted to underline what has happened in the year by being able to close important projects with projects which required investments. These are projects which are being closed, but some of the projects are being opened following capital light investment models, so following the guidelines of the strategic plan, which means lower investments, EPC contract with a variety of elements associated to such contracts. So let's see what has happened in the year. First of all, we completed the projects in Turkey, the third bridge that was a BOT, and then we also completed the bridge on the Izmit Bay. These are two projects which started their operating phase. We also completed and delivered the project of the ring road, the WHSD in St. Petersburg. Moreover, we completed four Tuscany hospitals. We also completed the project of the police officers academy in Florence. Hence, you can understand the commercial and operation push. So the portfolio that was closed and in line with the guidelines of the strategic plan opens up new projects with the award of the Brennero Tunnel. In Chile, we acquired a new and important contract. You remember that in September or June last, we announced such contract, the contract for Chuquicamata. We are working on the airport of Santiago of Chile, which, if you remember, is part of the capital light model. We have a stake in 15% in the SPV for the concession and 50% for the construction works. Moreover, we were awarded a project for the widening of a motorway in California. This is a very important project because it is a project which was awarded with a contract with a variety of elements. It consolidates our presence in North America, which is one of the areas with low or medium risk. Moreover, another project was awarded in Chile for the construction of a telescope. Now, in following the idea of EPC contract, which we have been awarded or which are going to be awarded, and I'm referring, for instance, in Italy to the Napoli-Bari high speed, we also have some awards which are being assigned in Romania, and we also have been awarded concession work in Turkey for a motorway. So this to say that some of the projects have been closed, replaced by a new portfolio of projects in line with the guidelines of the strategic plan. Page 6, we here summarized the results that we achieved in 2016. And we assessed these results with the targets of the strategic plan. Revenues above 3 billion euros, that was the guideline, that is confirmed. EBITDA margin around 12%, and that data was confirmed. EBIT margin around 10%, confirmed. Financial net financial position around 1.1 billion euros, and we are at 1.092, so also that target has been achieved. So the management team has worked hard and has managed to achieve the results in line with the targets of the strategy plan. Now, the EBITDA margin and EBIT margin are slightly above the ones envisaged by the strategy plan, but I have already explained that this phenomenon, this factor, is related to the closing of major projects like in Turkey and the WHSD ST in Russia, which have implied margin release with the difference between the margins we achieved and the ones in the strategic plan. Now, considering the financial and economic results that we have achieved, I'd like now to focus on the commercial policy of the company. Please remember that sustainable growth is connected to the capability to acquire orders, to regenerate the order book. In 2016, we put in place a strong commercial activity which delivered very important results. The idea here is to acquire EPC contract and preferably with a variety of elements, preferably we wanted to secure for ourselves contracts associated to down payments or advances, and preferably we want contracts that are financially autonomous or independent, all of which leads to the reduction of our net working capital. On page 7, you can see quite well the evolution of the order book from 26 to 2016. In 2016, as you can see, 61% of the order book is related to EPC contract, whereas 39% of our backlog are traditional contracts. Now, let me remind you that the result that we achieved, 3.6 billion euros of construction of the construction backlog are related to the California works, the telescope in Chile, and to the further contract in Chuquicamata, a mining project, the Brennero tunnel, and the closing of the Muscat Falls agreements. And these are the positive effects which then have also their influence on the net working capital. The approach on concessions is based on what we decided to do last year, basically a disposal of concessions when the construction works are completed. New acquisitions, well, this does not mean that we're not looking at concessions anymore, but we would like to look at concessions with the idea of investing less and in line with the financial strength of the group. So a minority stake in the SPV of the concession, whereas a greater stake in the construction works. Now, we have done something more than this with the idea of having a capital-light model that is to be able to limit the effects on the net and gross financial position. We started to disinvest also during the construction works. Our business is the construction works and also operations and maintenance, which are also quite important. What does that mean? As you probably read in the papers, but also in the press release that we issued, we disposed of our stake in the Chile hospital, and this allowed us to deconsolidate the gross debt of the company for 100 million euros. And we shall adopt the very similar approach in the Eklik hospital in Turkey. So we are starting to work on assets which were not included in the disposal plan, but we are somewhat acting earlier, trying to improve what we have set for ourselves. If you now go to page 8 of the presentation, you will see something that I have already mentioned before. That is one of our strong points of our company. When we presented the strategy plan, I told the audience that we had a number of strong points, but two are very important. One is geographical diversification. You will see that foreign operations account for 85% of our revenues. Italy, 15%. The Italian situation is well known. There's no need to make comments upon it. But the market is quite static, and the geographical diversification of the Astaldi Group becomes a strong point. Although we are operating on a local static market, we are growing our operations and activities abroad. And for a few months now, we, however, started to adopt a cautious approach. That is, we are consolidating our presence in areas which are at low or medium risk, like North America, Canada, Chile. We are also looking at opportunities in the northern European countries. And then we have new geographies associated to low and medium risk, like Cuba and Iran. But we're also looking at Indonesia and Singapore, where we are absolutely certain that they are a low to medium risk geographies. But we will release or we will give you the details when we present the 2017-2021 business plan, which is going to be made around April. But we shall communicate the date as soon as it is set. So, as I was saying, one of our strong points is that of continuing to work in de-risking our activities. And you have also seen this from the projects that we have secured for ourselves. We continue to work, for instance, in North America. We deconsolidate and we continue to grow in North America, in Canada as well. Now, after the Muskrat Falls Agreement, the Canadian market is opening up. There are a number of projects which are to be carried out, and there are also big projects, and the same applies in Chile, in Norway, and Sweden. We are also looking at other areas, but with caution, and we proceed with a step-by-step approach. In Italy, we're not standing still. We submitted bids for tenders. We have been provisionally awarded the contract for the Napoli-Bari motorway, but as I said, the Italian market is quite static. We hope that it will improve soon. Now, if you go to page number 9, well, here we just wanted to focus your attention on the goal that we achieved, among other goals, which was that of achieving revenues above 3 billion euros. That goal has been achieved. Let me remind you that there have been a number of activities to complete large projects. Some of these projects were delivered earlier, like the third bridge was to be delivered in November. It was delivered in July, and in August it started to operate. The Izmir motorway, the first phase was to be completed in July. It was completed in May. And so we had a strong push here, a strong momentum, and the managerial structure reacted quite well. On page 10 of the presentation, here I'd like to make a comment focusing my attention on the backlog of the company. Well, this is another strong point. We said that geographical diversification, business diversification. So I want to repeat this because these are going to be the focus of our business plan. Geographical diversification, business diversification with a more careful approach or with a more focused approach to facility management. And then the third element is represented by a backlog. And another strong point is that the book-to-bill ratio of construction is always above one. Our backlog at the moment is 10 billion euros. 19.5 if you include the concessions. Now, these 10 billion euros, with the potential orders reach 13 billion euros. When I speak of potential orders, are not projects that we still have to assess or which are not standing. These are potential orders, which means bids for which we were awarded the project or which we are waiting for the final award. And I'm referring, for instance, to Romania. I'm referring to Poland, where we have a railway project. In Italy, we are awaiting the final award of the Napoli-Bari project. And then I mentioned Turkey and the projects we have there. Now, the backlog tells us that we have 13 billion euros of projects in our backlog. And then greater than 27, because you also have the concessions. Let me go back to concessions for a second. The concessions were a source of investments. Our debt has grown. We're now divesting. Our nature, our business, is that of constructing the works. But not only that, we design, we build, but also we want to be responsible for the maintenance of the works. And so we are looking with a great interest the part related to operations and maintenance. But further details will be released when we present the business plan later on. If you go to page 11 of the presentation, well, here you will see some of the goals that we achieved in line with the strategy plan. Here, from the EBIT margin, I asked my people to extrapolate the core EBIT margin. And you can see that the EBITDA margin, core EBIT margin, and EBIT margin targets were reached. EBITDA margin around 12%, core EBIT margin 8%, and the overall EBIT margin around 10%. Well, these are all data that we managed to achieve in 2016. So this means that the group has a strong delivery capacity, which means that we followed and monitored a number of processes. And the fact that we managed to achieve our targets testify to the good activities and the good work carried out by the management team. Now, I also would like to focus your attention on some other financial parameters which were a part of our strategy plan targets, that is, gross and net debt. Well, the data are self-explanatory, but you can see that on the 30th of June, 30th of September, and the 31st of December, you see the evolution of the gross and net debt. The net financial position was to be at the end of the year around 1.1 billion euros. We now are at 1.092. We also had, in this case, a positive effect on the net working capital trends. To achieve these goals, we had to adopt a number of levers. And, for instance, we set up a task force on the working capital to release reserves. We also deliver projects ahead of schedule. So we put in place a number of activities to be able to achieve these important results. Another important lever is represented by the disposal of concession assets, which aim also at reducing debt. Now, let me remind you that the debt reduction and the containment of working capital actually occurred on the bridge agreement in July 2016 on Muscat Falls. Now, I'm saying this to tell you that the processes were monitored and followed by the management team by referencing the targets of the strategy plan. And so these results are satisfactory for us all because we managed to achieve important targets. Now, if you go to page 13 of the presentation, here you see something that we talked about during the different conference calls, the concession asset disposal plan. People keep asking us, how are you going? Here you can see the goals that we achieved in 2016. For instance, A4 holding. This is something that we talked about different times, and I shall not dwell on this. We closed the agreement for Milan Subway Line 5, and we expect to cash in the money in the first half of 2017. And then the hospital in Santiago in Chile. I told you here the story of this project. The cash in is expected to occur in Q1 in 2017. 10 million euros. We actually have already cashed in this money. And then Chacayes, we signed the agreement in March, and the cash in is expected in the first part of 2017. Tuscany hospitals, we received offerings, and we are in this moment at a very advanced progress for this, and I think I can say that this was a very good result. What is still to be done are the two Turkish assets, but we said that we were going to see those in 2018, and then Goy in 2019, and Mestre in 2017. And then Etlike, here we started to work, and between 2017 and 2018, we expect to achieve the result following the model used for the hospital in Santiago in Chile. On page 14 of the presentation, here we tried to quantify what we mentioned with slide number 13. So what we said that we were going to do between 2016 2018, there is a reduction of the financial position, cashing in 450 million euros thanks to concession asset disposal. In this moment, we are around the 200 million euros. And still, we have to cash in the money of the projects I mentioned before. And so I think that we actually managed to obtain a good result. We are proceeding with the Mestre Hospital, with the Turkish projects as well. Now, I have to say, moving on to slide number 15, I have to say that some of the people are somewhat surprised by the assets that we have delivered. For instance, in Turkish, the works are in operations, cars are flowing on the third Bosphorus Bridge and on the bridge of the Izmit Bay. Perhaps it's worth going to Turkey to see these works, to see whether they are in operations. But apart from this joke, the two motorways are working. Cars are flowing through these motorways without problem. What is important is that the tolling and collection systems are working efficiently. Let me remind you that BOT in Turkey are associated to a minimum guaranteed amount. I'd like to remind you that for the first 2 years, what was expected was a traffic to be below the minimum guaranteed, but this was envisaged in the economic and financial plan. But this is not really interesting for our study, because in our plan we only posted the minimum guaranteed. Now, in order to cash in the first part of the minimum guaranteed, we already launched the necessary procedures. We have no negative signals coming from this direction. The customer is available, and we have no problem with that customer, and we are moving on. The management of these two motorways is going well, and it is in line with our financial and economic plan for these projects. Page number 16 of the presentation. Well, I'd like to make a comment or say a few words about an activity which has a direct effect on numbers. Whatever goes on in a company is related to the organizational structure and to the management team and to the rules adopted by the company to operate. Now, in the strategy plan, we said that one of the pillars of the strategy plan was that of strengthening our operating structure. During a number of conference calls, I actually focused my attention on the soundness or sound decision taken by the company to strengthen the industrial services. Now the organizational structure has been strengthened. The industrial services direction is working well. We are now in a position to monitor everything from the bidding, the tender, construction, operations and management. We have all of the process under control. This allows the company to smooth processes and to follow costs. We strengthened the peripheral areas with the new resources, and especially for new projects and for the larger projects, this is what we have done. So in 2016, the company has strengthened its organization in a major manner. This is very important. We have reviewed a number of processes which have an effect on control, so strengthening our structure was fundamental, and it is at the basis and is strictly connected to our sustainable growth goal. Now, let me give you some pieces of information which somehow are not part of the end-of-year results, which, however, are achieved because behind this you have a management team. I mean, the CEO work is important, but what counts is the management team. We hired some 70 people from outside, from the market in a year, which means that we have renewed our management team, or if you wish, we have strengthened our management team, which is very, very useful when it comes to growing. And then we also continued to work on a project called Manager of the Future. We have some 50 people, newly graduated people that carry out their activities abroad. They stay with us for a period of 2 years, and then they are finally hired by the company for those of them that desire to remain with the company. Now, this is a project that of the manager of the future is very important because it means that we are preparing the company to take upon itself the challenges of the future. So we are integrating the management team and the company with the young resources, which I believe is very important. If we go now to page 17 of the presentation, well, here you will see the agenda for our next steps. In April, then we shall set the precise date, we would like to present an update on our strategy plan or on our strategic plan. Then we shall have the shareholders' agreement, and then in the first days of May, we shall have the presentation of the Q1 2017 results. At this point, we have a number of slides which outline the details of what I have so far said. And of course, if you look at page 19, you see in detail the end of year results. So revenues 3 billion and 4 EBITDA 379.9 million euros, EBIT 317 million euros. Here we also underlined the contribution coming from the stakes that we have, or results from continuing operations 97 versus the result that we achieved in 2015, net income 72.4 million euros. Now, 24 million euros are associated to A4 holding, which penalizes the net income, which would otherwise have been around 97 million euros. It's in line with the previous year results, but we suffered from the results from discontinued operations. Now, on the right of the slide, you see the evolution of the EBIT and EBITDA margin. We repeat this every time. The evolution is quite cyclical, but the result is what we actually expected to achieve. Now, of course, here you see again a focus on the agreement for Muscat Falls. Now, before giving the floor to you for questions, let me add that as far as Venezuela is concerned, there is no novelty. Now, Venezuela is as it was after the last conference calls. We are not working. Whereas we are working with the Venezuela government, with the support of the Italian government, to be able to recover credits. So there is no change versus what I said in the previous conference calls as far as Venezuela is concerned. Let me add something else to avoid questions on Muscat Falls. Now, Muscat Falls has been secured with the margins equal to zero, with the K equal to one. It's a prudential approach. Well, we closed the agreement, and so we want to be cautious as to the results of this project. We could have included a number of cost benefits, but we decided to keep K equal to one. As you know, this is a very complex project. 60% of the works have been completed. We are confident, but in my capacity of CEO of the company, I need to safeguard my company, and so we prefer to keep K equal to one. Well, I don't think it is necessary to get into the details of the numbers that you see on page 19, but if you have questions about figures and numbers, you can ask questions during the Q&A, or you can contact directly the Investor Relations Office. Let me remind you, however, that the working capital is at 805 million euros. In September, it was 915, but before it was 1 billion and 10, but that was the moment of the greatest commercial push. Now, we said that we were going to reduce the net working capital. We were awaiting the new awards and the advances for some of the projects, but we wanted to improve the net working capital of our projects, and the result was achieved. This is the result that was achieved because of the release of reserves, the disposal of certain assets. So it's the sum of a number of actions. Net debt is below 1.1 billion euros, and the net equity is 698 million euros. We then have a slide showing the evolution of the net financial position from the beginning of 2015 to mid-2016 and the end of 2016, which shows the details of what I have said before. Now, as to the debt profile, well, this is a slide that you know quite well, and so I think there's no need for me to get into the details of this slide, page 22. This is a slide that we wanted to show to integrate the information that we have given so far about the results of 2016. It is quite clear that one of the activities that we are carrying out is that of renegotiating certain maturities, and from this point of view, we are also working hard. So I tried to tell you what 2016 meant for us and what we did in 2016. We have a lot of details, so a full detailed presentation would require a couple of days, but I think I gave you the most important information, and so I think that we can conclude the management presentation. At this point, we can take your questions if you have any. I just have a recommendation. Now, at least a maximum of two questions each. Otherwise, it will be an endless Q&A. But then if you have further requests for information, I'd like to ask you to contact directly the Investor Relations office. And our people there will give you all the necessary details. So thank you very much. At this point, we can start our Q&A session. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. We can now start the Q&A session. If you have a question to ask, press star followed by one on your touchtone telephone. In order to be removed from the question queue, press star followed by two. We would like to ask you to ask your questions using the telephone handset. Now, if you have a question to ask, please press star followed by one at this moment. The first question by Andrea Balloni with Finentis. Now, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I have a couple of questions to ask. The first about 2017. Could you give us an indication about the EBITDA and the debt evolution that you expect to see? And in particular about debt, I'd like to understand what would the debt be today if you include the disposals that you announced at the beginning of the year. Second question, the impact of the shareholding on profit and loss. I'd like to know what you expect in 2017. In 2016, I think it was 82 million euros. Now, let me take your question about 2017. As I said during the presentation, we will give you the details when we present the business plan 2017-2021. So the business plan presentation is going to be made quite soon. And the same applies to the debt evolution. We will give you all of the information when we present the business plan. I can tell you, however, that 2017 is in line with our strategic plan, but we shall get into the details when we present the business plan. As to equity in 2017, well, we have GOI and the third bridge, but the value is always the same. Well, perhaps I did not explain myself clearly. The first question about debt was about 2016. Now, what would the debt be at the end of 2016 if the disposal that you announced this year had occurred last year. Now, what I wanted about to know about the shareholders' equity, I'd like to know how this is going to change in 2017. Are you going to see a positive change because you have concessions at the start being operated and generate money, or is it going to decrease because of the disposals you made so far? Now, let me go back to your question about 2016. If we were to make an end-of-year evaluation of the disposals which are ongoing, it would be 100 million euros net. As to equity is concerned, let me remind you that we still have the third bridge and the GEPS Izmir, which the value of 2017 is the same that we had in 2016. So there are no major changes. I hope I answered your question now. Thank you. The next question by Giuseppe Mattelli with Equita. Good evening. I have a couple of questions to ask, if I may. The first about the 849 million euros of capital employed in concessions. 128 are related to credits. So I'd like to ask an update on equity and semi-equity of these 849 million euros. Now, you said that you're going to give indications about 2017. Can you give us, however, some information about equity and semi-equity investments that you are going to make for concessions that you still have to finance? Now, I'll give the floor to the CFO, who will give you these details, Mr. Cauci. Now, good evening. As far as the capital employed in concessions, 150 million euros, more or less, 370 million euros is the value of the stake, the book value of the stake in the consolidated accounts, and 300 million euros, more or less, which is the shareholder loans value, which was contributed to the project companies. Now, of all this figure, some 220 million euros are related to assets that we placed among the assets to be disposed. If you read our accounts in detail, you will have the necessary information. These are assets that we believe we are going to dispose of in the subsequent year. We're speaking of the underground in Milan, hospitals in Tuscany, and the Chacayas hydro plant. Now, as to the credit, IFRIC 12, this is the assessment of financial credits related to concession rights, which were almost exclusively connected to Cayas Buns Hospital, which the stake was released in March. So you will find the exclusion in the results in December, and then you will see the cash in of the 49% of the money, which occurred a couple of weeks before. I lost your indication about equity, if you don't mind repeating it. Now, the value of equity investments, fully paid, 370 million euros. As to the planned investments for 2017, which is related to the completion of the end stage of the third bridge and the support of Line 4 underground in Milan and other concession projects, 60 million euros overall. Now, we are at the end of a major disposal plan, and from now on, these figures will go down, less significant versus the past, but as we actually disclosed and announced before. Now, the next question by Alessandro Tortora with Mediobanca. Now, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I have a couple of questions to ask. The first, about your commercial activities. Now, before you mentioned opportunities in Turkey, I'd like to know whether these are BOT projects or whether these are construction-only contracts. I'm referring to Turkey. A second question. Tax rate, which is around 24%. I'd like to know whether this tax rate is sustainable. And then I'd like to have a clarification, again, going back to what you said, the book value of concessions, 870, excluding ITLIC 12, but I haven't understood well your data of equity and semi-equity investments. Now, let me repeat again. 370 million euros equity, 300 million euros semi-equity. But this includes, again, the investment values of assets which are being disposed of and which are going to be disposed in 2017. Let me now take your commercial policy. Now, your question is well put as far as Turkey is concerned. We were awarded an underground in Istanbul. It's a traditional contract with a variety of elements, 600 million euros, more or less. Now, there are four companies work on that project. So it's a traditional award. The other project that we were awarded is a project connected to the other motorway that we are building. It's a small BOT project. This project sees the participation of three partners, including us, 350 million euros, that is the total amount of the investment. We are speaking of the extension of the motorway, nothing meaningful, however. And then your question about tax rate is around 25%, and it is sustainable going forward. Okay, thank you. Well, if I may, I'd like to ask another question. I know you said that to ask only two questions. I know, but every time you disrespect this rule, you always ask more than two questions. You always ask at least four. I will not ask a question then. No, it's okay. You can ask a question at this moment. I just wanted to ask the following. On the 9 months results, you said that there was a greater incidence of cost of labor or staff costs and amortization and depreciation, for instance, use of local labor on contracts. Is this something that we are going to see as well in 2017, or are you going to normalize also these two factors, amortization and depreciation on the one hand, and cost of labor on the other? Well, let me tell you that in 2017, when it comes to appreciation and amortization, the value will be normalized. Well, this was connected or is connected to the strong momentum that we achieved in 2016. Thank you very much. The next question by Saul Casadio of NMG. Now, good evening. I have a couple of questions on the cash flow, and then I have a specific question on 2017. I'll start from a more general question. By looking at the cash flow statement, for 2 years now, you have a good performance in terms of revenues and EBITDA, but cash flow from operations is negative, and in 2016 is strongly negative, despite the fact that the backlog has grown. And so I expected a positive dynamic for the net working capital. Now, can you make a comment? Meaning you are obtaining very good commercial results, but this does not turn into good cash flow results. Okay, that's a more general question. Then after you answer, I ask a question about 2017. Just a second, and we'll get the data that you need. So let me go through what happened in 2016 so as I can give you an answer. Now, in 2016, we really made strong work to close the projects, which implied a greater exposure. And I'm referring especially to the Turkish projects. Russia as well is somewhat slower from this point of view. And then I also mentioned during our conference call in September, but also in the conference call of June, if I'm not wrong, I told you that we were trying to make sure that when it comes to down payments, where to achieve the same level that we managed to achieve in previous years, which was around 600 million euros. Now we are around 450 million euros. So we still miss 150 million euros, which is related to advances that we still have to cash in. Production was pushed strongly in 2016. For large projects, we saw some slow motion, so to speak. We had advances, of course, but not as similar to the ones that we reached in previous years. We said this already. We said 2016 was going to be a turnaround year. We were aware of this. We made some strong work so as to be able to make sure that investments and advances or advanced cash in could be improved. We were working on this, but we know that 2016 was going to be a transition year. Now, as far as 2017 is concerned, but then we shall see this when we present the business plan better, well, it is quite clear that we are working hard on this issue. And let me repeat it once again. We set up a task force in order to improve our performance here. And so I expect further improvement from this point of view. Now, in 2017, moreover, we shall have further cash in of money related to the asset disposals. So, release of reserves, disposal of assets, and new projects with advances. So I expect that in 2017 or in 2018, we shall be able to finalize the turnaround, working stronger than we achieved in 2016. Now, I'm not sure I understood your answer, however. Is it a problem of execution? Is it a problem of project mix that have a less favorable financial dynamics? Is it because of the market whereby new projects are less financially favorable or have a less favorable payment dynamics? So I haven't really understood which is the reason for this. Well, I think I gave you an answer which actually meets your request for information. Different factors came into play. If you go to page 5 of the presentation, you will see that in 2016 we closed a number of projects. In some projects we actually accelerated the schedule. These are projects which tend to be quite slow in giving us the results. Meanwhile, a number of projects started, projects that we were awarded and which are associated to advances, but not all the projects have already started. Some will start in 2017. We disposed some of the concession assets, and in 2017 we should close some of these with the cashing in of the money. So 2016 is a year of transition. I said this different times. We then disposed certain or released certain reserves. Some others are to be released in 2017-2018. Well, as I said, 2016 was a transition year. We reached some of the most important goals. But when it comes to advances, at least 3, 4, 5 years ago, we had around 600 million euros of advances. In 2016, 480, 490 million euros. So it's clear that our debt is a priority, and we have to continue to work on this. Can I ask you something about 2017? Now, on page 21, you give a representation of the cash flow for this year. Now, a couple of things stand out. Taxes plus cash interests around 200 million, which is a bit higher than it was in the past. So can you give me the breakdown between taxes and interests? And then CAPEX. Concession and construction CAPEX, 160 million euros. So can you please break it down? Construction CAPEX and the investment for concessions. Thank you. Just a second, because the management team is gathering information to be able to answer the question. Just a second, please. Hold on. We do apologize for having you wait. Now, CAPEX for 2017, 50 million for concession investments and 110, making everything together lower than 150, 160 million of this year. And then the cost of debt, foreign exchange, moreover, had a non-marginal value in this quarter, 220 million euros. What do you mean when you say foreign exchange? Why? Because you have to pay swaps? No, this is the effects that we had because of hedging on foreign exchange risk and the effects due to the increase of the order backlog and the associated cost of guarantees and sureties, performance bond, bid bond. So the volume activities has strongly increased. And it is quite clear that in the period we witnessed an overall increase of the value of the debt, which generated a greater cost than it was before. So this is the explanation of the debt. Now, 2017, well, our priority is that of trying to optimize the cost of debt. Can you give us the breakdown of that I asked before? Now, we'd like to call the investor relations office for such details. Thank you. Now, the next question from the English conference call by Hemant Dabke of Barclays Capital. Please, sir, you have the floor.
Hi. Just a few questions on your cash flow on slide 21. You had a big outflow on working capital in the first half of the year. Do you expect a similar seasonality for 2017 as well, or could you give us some expectations for working capital for this year? And then also on the same slide, there is about 85 million outflow on others, 55 in the first half and 30 in the second half. Could you give some detail on that? That's question number one. And then question number two, it's a little bit confusing about the deconsolidation of debt related to the Chilean project, the 100 million. Is that included in the 1,092 of net financial position that you report? And could you provide a little bit more of rationale on why non-recourse debt is included in that number? Thanks. Hello?
Yeah, just a second, sir. They are collecting the ideas to answer your question. Please be patient for a second.
Yes, hello. I'm sorry. For the second question, this is Alessandra. The consolidation of the debt, the non-recourse debt related to the operation of the hospital in Santiago, is being deconsolidated from the gross debt. It will be out of the net debt once we close the deal. As for the first question, if you could please repeat the first question, because we had some problem with it, we didn't hear you.
Yeah, sure. Just on the answer to the second question, I'm still confused. Why the Chilean project debt is non-recourse? Why is it included in the net financial debt that the company reports at the group level? I'm still not 100% clear on that. Would be great if you can clarify. And the first question was around the cash flow, slide 21 of your presentation. Change in working capital was about 321 million in the first half. Should we expect a similar level of seasonality for this year? And there's about 85 million of cash outflow on others. Just wondering what that 85 million cash outflow was. Thanks.
For the hospital in Santiago, as you know, it is a concession contract which we had at 100%. We signed an agreement to sell the 40%, now remember, 49% of the asset. Now it has become a joint operation, therefore is not consolidated line by line anymore or fully, and that this is why the non-recourse debt has been deconsolidated from the from the gross debt. Once the deal is closed, the effect that we have put in the assets to be sold both at income statement and in the balance sheet will come out of our balance sheet, because once the deal will be officially closed. As for working capital, you saw we have historically a shift upward in our working capital in the first part of the year. I would like to stress the fact that last year it was particularly high due to the Canadian project, for which we were in the midst of negotiation for the first bridge contract, which was signed in July, and this is why you see on page 21 we hit a peak in terms of net debt as of June.
Mm-hmm.
So you should expect to have a shift upward in the first half, and as usual, in the second half of the year, a reduction. As for the other items, hold on a second, please.
Sure.
We have extracted from the EBITDA that we post the income from participation, given that it's not a non-cash item, and this is why we put it aside.
Right. Okay. And just on the... just on the Chile project, when you deconsolidate your 100 million gross debt, would it involve a corresponding reduction on the asset side as well in terms of your investment in that project, or how should we think about that?
If I understand that, you're asking if there's going to be a lesser investment from our part in the asset. Is this what you're asking? I didn't hear you.
Yes, or like should it? Is the investment in Chile included on the asset side, and will that reduce as well when you deconsolidate it?
I'm sorry, I really can't hear you. I'm sorry. Can you just probably speak lower?
So when you deconsolidate your 100 million gross debt in Chile.
Yes.
Would there be a corresponding reduction in the investment in concessions on the asset side as well?
The investment that was planned in the asset in Chile was already included in our forecast when we presented the business plan, and it was already included a reduction of our investment due on the asset because it would be taken on by the new financial investor. But the debt that we deconsolidate is not the same amount as the investment that we had to do on the asset.
Okay, that's fine. Thank you.
The next question from the English conference call by Marina Lolland, Panin Capital. You have the floor, ma'am.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. I want to follow up on Sal's question in terms of the working capital. I would love to get a breakdown per region, sort of what were the biggest movements on the inflow and on the outflows, given that we didn't get the breakdown on the cash flow as we had in previous years. I think it would be appropriate to know some of the bigger movements in the working capital. And also, I have one question, but just quickly, what was the CapEx split and total for next year? I heard you said, what was it, 85 for the concessions, but then I heard also 160, so it's 160 the total, or is that separate from the concessions? Yes, please clarify. Thank you so much.
Hi, Marina, it's Alessandra. So I'll start from the last one. The CapEx we said for next year, we're talking about 550 million euros in terms of technical CapEx, and then an additional 660 investment in CapEx in concession. That makes 110 total for 2017.
Okay.
As for working capital inflows, outflows, what I can tell you, in 2016, the big inflow, as we saw in the first half, was Canada. And then in the third quarter, the sign of the agreement helped us reduce it. For further breakup into geographical inflows and outflows, I will have to send you some information because this is something I have to get out from the annual report, from the notes to the report.
Okay, I understand. In terms of just on Turkey, there was definitely some outflows there and some difficulties collecting some of the receivables. Is that still the case? Or have you collected what you expected to collect towards the end of the year? Because you said you want to recover this when we last spoke in October, I think, in Q4 and also the first half of the next, well, this year. Is that still the case?
Hello, please let me check. Okay, I just wanted to check on the nature of this. In terms of receivables or working capital in Turkey, which we were referring to, as we said, we have completed the construction operation on those two assets in the later, like in the later part of the summer. By contract, the cash in of those receivables are forecast to get in. Yeah, it's in dollars. And the cash in, by contrast, the cash in of the receivables are due to come in during 2016 and 17. So it's foreseen by the contract by the contract we had on those assets. It's not let's say an extraordinary effect.
Okay, just I'm not sure if I understand this correctly because you did say in the conference call last quarter that you had some around 300 or 290 million of cash outflow or absorption on the working capital from Turkey. So I guess my question is have you recovered that or are you still looking to recover that the first half of this year? Be good to know.
Marina, probably I don't know where you get this 290 million in terms of cash outflow in Turkey is not a number that we have.
Okay, maybe I misheard. There was on the last call. There was definitely some outflows there. It would be really helpful to try to understand the Turkish situation simply because of the nature of the situation. And with other companies, CMC, some of your peers haven't collected money. They're just not getting paid. And I just want to be sure that this is not happening to you guys or just trying to understand really the risk profile for you in Turkey.
Okay, I understand your concern. Let me check a little bit and I'll come back.
Thank you.
Now, let me try and answer your question, and this is Mr. Stinelli's answering. In Turkey, we have no problem with our customer. I say this because there might be some misunderstanding. I don't remember talking about 290 million euros in the previous conference call. This is a figure I don't know, and so I don't think I ever pronounced the figure, but we shall make our controls. However, this being said, as I said, with our public customer, we have no problem in Turkey. I do not know what kind of problems other companies have in that country. Our customer, our public customer, has to pay the minimum guarantee amounts starting from the first part of this year. And as I said before, we have already started a procedure to cash in the money, but we have no feeling of things being negative, also because the motorways are operating well. Now, when I said that Turkey sometimes is slowly, is related to the relationship between the concession company and the construction company. But the payment milestones are related to the financial and economic plan. Now, as I said before, we focused on accelerating the construction work. The milestones for payments were expected to occur later, but we finished the works before and we shall cash in the money in line with the contract. So, as far as the working capital is concerned, what you see is that we accelerated our work, but the milestones of payment from our customer are the ones which are foreseen by the contract. So we shall cash in the money in line with the contract. We were aware of this, but we wanted to complete the works before because when it comes to these acceleration work, we also had an early completion reward for the joint venture construction. And this, if you wish, bonus will be paid to us, which will make this project more profitable. I hope I clarified the situation in Turkey. I think that had there been a misunderstanding, I hope that this answer clarified that doubt. Let me repeat it once again. There is no doubt, no problem about our public customer in that country.
Okay, yeah, thanks a lot.
Next question, Brian Raul Sequeira. Please, sir, you have the floor.
Hi, thanks for taking the questions. I think the question was asking in various forms previously, but there was, as you pointed, a pretty meaningful negative working capital movement in the first half of 2016. I think cumulatively, I'm seeing 320 million euros effectively, and that was discussed. Shall we expect, given because the potentially the advance payments might take a bit longer, or you know, they're dependent on starting the construction, shall we expect a similar level of negative working capital in H1 17, i.e., 320 million, i.e., in terms of the order of magnitude? And then the second question would be in relation to Turkey and the Turkish concessions. Could you tell us how much today there is of future CapEx expected for Turkish concessions for 2017 and 2018 in total and your share, and how much of that CapEx would not have been closed from a financial perspective, i.e. you don't have project finance debt today on it, i.e. there could be a risk that effectively the cost could escalate and you will not be able to close it. And if I may, a third question, just a very simple on the dividends from joint ventures and associated operations, because you've made some disposals and the flow into EBITDA, and it was 88 million euros in FY17. Shall we expect that contribution from JVs and associate to come down in FY17 because they were a big driver for the EBITDA increase for FY16? Thank you.
Okay, just a minute, please.
Thank you.
Okay.
Now, as to the equity that has to be paid for Turkish projects, let me try and clarify this issue. Now, as far as the Gebze İzmir project, we do not have to invest further equity. I said when we presented the strategy plan, that project was the object of a refinancing agreement, so we will not have to invest any further equity. That's it. As far as the residual works for the third bridge and the Etlik Hospital, in 2017, we will have 40 million euros versus 60 million euros, which is the overall concession capex envisaged. So below what it was in 2016, and then in 2018, that will go down to 30 million euros. That's it as far as investments in Turkey are concerned. Thereafter, let me take the question about the net working capital being affected by the cyclical nature of our business. Well, in the first part of the year, we always have a higher value, but the value that you see going forward is going to be lower than it was in 2016. In 2016, 321 million euros are connected to the production momentum, production push that was put in place in Turkey. And then it is also connected to Canada. As I told you, we reached an agreement in July, and the net working capital went down for that as well. In the first part of the year, we have a cyclical evolution of the net working capital. It's going to be lower than it was in 2016. As to the financing or investment for Turkish projects, we have no other commitments than the projects that we have, which have already been financed. There's only a small BOT project, but that's going to be a marginal value because there are three partners, including us, and it's going to be an investment of 15, 20 million euros, more or less. So we're speaking of a little investment there. I think I answered all of your questions so far.
And the dividends from associates and joint venture? Thank you.
Just a second, sir. We'll come back to you in a minute.
You asked for the dividends. You're referring to the dividends or to the income from participation that we have in the P&L at 88 million in 2016, and you want to know the forecast for 2017?
Yes, sorry, you're right. The income from participation, i.e. not the dividends, but the full income, effectively, because that's part of EBITDA on a consolidated basis. So as you've made some disposals, shall we assume that that amount will come down, and by what magnitude?
No, for 2017, that amount will stay stable.
Thank you.
Mr. Stinellis, there are no other questions coming from the conference call. Well, thank you very much then, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll hear from you for the next conference call. Thank you very much and have a good evening. Thank you.